Rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I did my first part of my presentation this morning on my trip to the Holy Land, and you saw a little bit of what I experienced, but I know that I had a lot of anticipation preparing for this trip. What I wanted, what I expected, what I hoped, what I had visions of seeing in the Holy Land, because anyone, Christians who have grown up with the Bible, you know, we have a picture in our head of what we think the Holy Land would be like. One of the hopes I had was to see real shepherds and real sheep in the land of the Bible, the ones that we've read about forever, year after year. Sheep and shepherds, you know, they're referred to hundreds of times in the Bible. King David was a shepherd. Shepherds were the first to hear the angels announcing the birth of Jesus. Shepherds and sheep. Shepherds and their sheep are woven throughout the pages of Scripture. So I had a vision of what would it be like to actually witness sheep and shepherds at work in the land of the Bible. And I'm not sure when we first saw them, but it was not long after we arrived at the airport and we were on our way north to Galilee on the highway. We were in two buses, both of us, 69 of us traveling, and we were watching the landscape, and then suddenly one of us yelled out, "Look, a shepherd and sheep too, just like in the Bible." And then we had a closer look, and I thought to myself, well, not really like in the Bible. Because what I saw were just a few scrawny sheep, about half a dozen dirty, scrawny sheep with matted fur, grazing and trying to find grass along the side of the highway next to a fence. And there was a young boy a little further away, sitting on looked like an old plastic milk carton of some kind, looking rather bored, carrying some kind of a stick. He had his ears plugged in. He had his iPhone plugged in as well. I don't know if he had an iPhone but he had his plugs in, and he was looking at his phone, I think, and he didn't look terribly engaged in the task at hand. And so I thought, well, there you have it. Sheep and shepherd in the Holy Land. And we saw, it wasn't long before this scene repeated itself over and over again as we traveled. It became actually very common, so common that it wasn't long before nobody said anything when they saw sheep or shepherd, except maybe once in a while we'd say, "Oh yeah, there we go, there's some more sheep and another shepherd." And what we usually saw was either a young boy like this or a very old man sitting in a lawn chair at the side of the highway, keeping sort of an eye on the flock. I don't know what I expected when I left, but I guess I thought I experienced something a little more, how we should say, something holier in the Holy Land. A little naive of me, I guess. Maybe there would be an image of a brave young shepherd standing on the top of the hillside, guarding a large flock of hundreds of sheep, holding his mighty rod and staff, standing at attention, always alert, scouring the countryside, watching for wolves or thieves, ready in a flash to jump up and defend his flock at any cost. That's what I visioned, but it's not quite what I saw. It just seemed ordinary. Didn't seem good or bad, it was just ordinary. The scene of sheep and shepherd. It's not so common in this part of Canada, but you know, I soon realized that, but in Israel and Palestine, this is just part of the landscape. Sheep and shepherds are just ordinary parts of daily life. Just an ordinary part of the landscape. But isn't that the point and the power behind all of the times that this picture is painted in the Bible for us? Isn't this the point and the power behind all the times that God is painted as the ultimate shepherd in Scripture? The biblical writers have taken one of the most ordinary, everyday, routine scenes of the day, sheep and shepherd, and said, "People of God, people of Israel, look around you. Here you have a true picture of what God is like for you. God sees you as sheep, and God is your good shepherd, is your shepherd. God is my shepherd?" Israel wonders out loud. Well, I have to say, if this is true, then this God needs to offer more than the shepherds that we know and live with, because we know some of them. We know some of them by name, in fact. They are our neighbors and friends and relatives. It's the little boy around the corner. It's that old man down the street. And we know how human they are. And if the truth be told, we know that even the most dedicated shepherd in the land would only go so far for the sheep. And we couldn't blame them. We want to protect, and of course they want to care for the sheep, and they want to watch over them, of course, but there's a limit. You know, shepherds have families. They have homes. They have obligations. And we know that if it came down to sacrificing a sheep or two to save their own lives, well, you can't expect even the best shepherd to go that far. We must be reasonable about this. That may not make sheep feel so secure, but who can blame the shepherd either? Because they are only human. They are only ordinary humans. So all of this makes the following words from Jesus today sound even more preposterous. For Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus said it. He's describing himself to us. And as you hear these words today, perhaps for the thousandth time in your life, I wonder, are you able to put your patterned and familiar response to these words on the shelf for a moment? Because I want to zero in on that word good for a minute. That word good. I'm not used to challenging Jesus' choice of words. But I really have to wonder if the Lord was really doing the right thing when he called himself the good shepherd. Because he's not using good the way that I'm used to using it. What does good mean? Good is a word that I think describes what? General competence. A good shepherd does his job conscientiously. That's what a good employee does too. A good shepherd is attentive to the sheep. A good shepherd gives a reasoned response when the sheep are in danger. That's what a good shepherd does. But what does Jesus describe as good behavior for a shepherd? He goes far beyond any usual definition of good, doesn't he? He says, the good shepherd, what? Lays down his life for the sheep. Lays down his life for mere sheep. I think we need to try a more accurate adjective. Maybe Jesus should have said, I am the reckless shepherd. I am the foolhardy shepherd. I am the nonsensical shepherd. Because sheep aren't people, and shepherds are significantly higher in the pecking order. Sheep are valuable to a point, but they are a whole lot more dispensable than human life, Lord. No one would judge even a good shepherd, even the best shepherd, for stepping back and sacrificing one or two lambs when the risks to life get too great. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and that means that I am good precisely because I will lay down my life for even these little creatures so far below me. My life, even my life, is expendable if it saves one of these precious and beloved lambs. There's a word that we in the church have heard growing up that the rest of the world doesn't hear that much, and that word is prodigal. Prodigal, you know that word. That word is attached to one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the prodigal son. Now, the word prodigal can mean more than one thing. It can mean wasteful and foolish and reckless. And we call the son prodigal in this parable because his father gives him his inheritance, and what does he do with it? He throws it all away and wastes it and blows it, and he's left with nothing. So that's one definition of prodigal: to spend money on resource, or to spend money or resources freely and recklessly, because that's what the son did. But there's another definition of prodigal in the dictionary. Prodigal also means to have or to give something on a lavish and extravagant scale. And that's why some people have decided that the better name for this parable is the prodigal father, because they claim, and I agree, that the real heart of the story is not what the son does, but what the father does in the story. The father is over the top, lavish, extravagant, complete and full forgiveness before it's even asked, given to his son. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Who am I to question your words, Lord? But good doesn't cut it. You're describing a love that is beyond mere goodness, a gift that is beyond duty or expectation, or even my wildest dreams or my greatest hope as your sheep. How could I ask, how could I expect such an act of love from even the mightiest, most dedicated and committed shepherd? I would not imagine, I could not imagine such a shepherd. Can you? Such extravagant, such lavish, such unbounded, senseless love for you. Little lamb, for you. There's another parable that always comes alongside this one. You remember when Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and he leaves the 99 behind and goes searching for the one that is lost? You see, there it is again. He's at it again. This is blatant prodigal behavior, isn't it? It's not what shepherds should be doing. Extravagant, reckless, lavish, for you, little lamb, for me. It is not sense or logic that drives this shepherd. It is an unbounded, uncontainable, unexplainable love for you, little lamb, for you. And finally, there is this word. While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. God proves his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So little lambs, soon, very soon, you will hear the words of your shepherd, your good shepherd, speak these two words for you. As in, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And here he is again, your good, no, dare I say, here is your prodigal shepherd feeding you with his own body and blood. So little lamb, come, receive these gifts. Receive your prodigal shepherd with joy. For it is true, little lambs, greater love has no one than this. Greater love has no shepherd than this, than to lay down his life for you, his friends, his lambs, his flock. For you, for you. Come, prodigal shepherd, feed us again. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.